Amen.
Use us now, Lord, to bring a word to these your people. In Jesus' name, amen. In the in the 148th Psalm, in Psalm 148, I know that I gave this to the sound ministry to put on the screen, but I'm going to change our reading just a little bit this morning. I want to actually just call your attention to some, put it, you can put it back, B. I want to just call your attention to some highlights from this scripture, beginning with verse 1. In verse 1 of the 148 Psalms, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens." So I want you to keep that, to praise him from the heavens. And then I want to go to verse number 7, and it says, "Praise the Lord from the earth." So heaven and earth will praise the Lord. And then I want to go to verse 14 and end where it says, "Praise ye the Lord." And all of the rest of it I will embed within my message this morning. Amen? So praise ye the Lord. Now this morning, as you know, all this month, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit, I've been on raising the praise. And I want to talk to you from this subject today, and I just want to talk about doped up on praise. Doped up on praise. Can you tell somebody I'm doped up on praise? I'm doped up on praise. Now, let me be candid with you and very open with you and tell you that I really don't know a lot about getting high, you're just one step ahead of me, just one, just about a half a step. Watch what I have to say next. I started out with, I don't know a lot about getting high, but I've been told by some close preacher friends of mine that you don't have to smoke a blunt to get high. And I'm told that you can get high by way of contact. And somebody helped me out, because I need to know, is that right or not? This is what I've been told. Some of y'all know, can you just get high by being in contact with somebody that's getting high? Because I don't want to give out any wrong information. Now, if that's true, that you can get high by being by somebody that's high, then you need to tell your neighbor that they might want to move, because you're getting ready to get lit up on Jesus this morning. Tell them you might want to move, because I'm getting ready to light up this morning. By way of introduction, just in case you missed the last couple of Sundays, I'd kind of like to, so I can keep the entire congregation on the same page, which is my goal, is that I would like to bring you kind of up to date on the sermons that I preached for, that, and will be preaching for 5 weeks. And I'm preaching from the Hallelujah Psalms, which are Psalms 146 through 150. And let me fix that. I am preaching Psalms 146 through 149, And then on the fourth Sunday, we will have a guest preacher that will come, and he will wrap up our series, and he will preach on Psalm 150. I don't know which direction he will come from, but I'm sure that you will be blessed by the message that Pastor Todd Atkins will bring to you on the fourth Sunday. All of the hallelujah psalms begin and end with praise the Lord. The umbrella in which all of the sermons were and shall continue to be covered is raise the praise. The text used on the fourth Sunday in January was Psalm 146, and the subject was, we need to raise our praise. And let me share a few highlights from that sermon so that everybody can get with me this morning. I told the congregation that high praise can get you out of some low places. I used a water demonstration to show that we need to have so much praise in us that our praise actually overflows and blesses somebody else. Last Sunday, I preached from 147, verses 1 through 6, and our subject was, ain't a thing wrong with praising the Lord. I took the liberty of getting in some folks' business, and I told the congregation that we praise everything else and everybody else. And I talked about how much people would spend to holler and praise at the Super Bowl, and one of the teams was guaranteed to lose. Ms. Pat, we didn't know at that time, but it was the 49ers that were guaranteed to lose. Somebody talk back with me. The 49ers were the losers. Somebody just talk back with me, because the Chiefs stepped up and did what the Chiefs had to do. Somebody talk back with me. I don't hear nobody this morning. And yet, we won't praise God, and we're guaranteed to win because the scripture says, whosoever will win in the end. I also asked the congregation, if they didn't come in here to praise God, then why in the world did they get dressed up and drive here? And I also told them, to really praise God, you have to have an I don't care attitude. Because as good as God has been to us, and as good as God has been to me, if my praising bothers you, then you need to move out of the way. Because when I think of the goodness of God and where God has brought me from, I cannot help but praise the Lord. Now, as we continue our study in Psalms 148, today I want to talk to you about the thought that I really am doped up on praise. In 148 is a beautiful picture of praising and worshiping the Lord. And this psalm, if you will, P-S-A-L-M, contains two stanzas, if you will, of glorious praise to God. And with each stanza ending with a reason for that praise. Catch this. It's a little deep, so I'm going to say it a little slowly. So catch this. As a flash of lightning flames through space and wraps both heaven and earth in one garment of glory, so doth the adoration of the Lord light up all the universe and cause it to glow and sparkle in praise. In other words, when the people of God all get together and start making a praising sound, the universe will light up. Somebody needs to give God praise in the house. I only have but 2 points today, and I'm out of here. My first point is this, and that is that this scripture says that heavenly things will praise God. Somebody say heavenly things will praise God. I told you that I've learned that our first purpose in life is to worship God. And in my 25 years as a pastor, I have never, and I can truly stand here and tell you, that I have never been more excited about the preaching and teaching of the gospel of praise and worship. Because I know, and I've watched, and I know that no matter what you say, that America is in need of a blessing, y'all. I'm watching our country. I'm watching our world. Our families are in need of a blessing, y'all. Somebody talk back with me this morning. Our homes are in need of a blessing, y'all. Our schools are in need of a blessing, y'all. Our churches are in need of a blessing, y'all. And I also know that when praises go up, I know blessings come down. Remember that a psalm by definition, a P-S-A-L-M by definition, is no more than a song or a H-Y-M-N about H-I-M. Therefore, it is a hymn about him. Amen. And since a psalm is a song, then I would like to call the first six verses of Psalm 148 the first stanza of the song. And the first stanza says we ought to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the skies. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all the armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye twinkling stars. Praise him, skies above. Let every created thing give praise to the Lord. For he issued his command, and they came into being. He set them in place forever and ever, and his decree will never be revoked. Here in this first stanza, we see that praise does not just apply to us as human beings, but the purpose of praise applies to all created things above the earth. The things above the earth are to praise the Lord. The psalmist starts out by simply saying, praise the Lord. Those three words, David sums up the whole message of Psalms 148. But David is not content. He's not happy with leaving it at that. He goes into greater detail. And David says, praise the Lord from the heavens and from the heights above. This is an all-inclusive statement that everything above the earth shall praise the Lord. Oftentimes, we only think about the things on the earth and in the earth praising the Lord, but he says things above the earth shall praise the Lord. Let's see. But I do not want you to miss this, because the psalmist gets even more specific about the praise. He mentions that the angels, hear me this morning, and this is more of a teaching message, so I want you to hear this. He mentions that the angels and the heavenly host should lift up their voices in praise to God. You think we worshiping down here. You ain't seen nothing yet. You think we saying hallelujah down here. You ain't seen nothing yet. You wait till all the angels get together and begin to say hallelujah and worship the Lord. Now let me show you something that the Holy Spirit revealed to me while I was preparing this message on Friday. The scripture says where two or three are touching and agreeing, says that I will be in the midst. Listen, down here sometimes you can't find anybody to touch and agree with. And if you can't, that's okay. Since the angels are praising the Lord, we can just hook up with a few of them and God will be in the midst. Somebody talk back to me in the house. And we see throughout Scripture that the angels have indeed lifted up their voices in praise. How do you know, preacher? Because I've read the word. And Luke 2 and 13 says, suddenly said a great company of the heavenly hosts. I wish I had some Bible scholars here. Appeared with the angels. And when they appeared, they were doing what? Praising God. I wish you heard, you knew the word. Over in Revelation, I'm just teaching you this morning. John the Revelator describes the sounds of the heavenly host praising God. Because in Revelation 19, this is what he said. He said, then I heard, he said, what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing water, like loud voices of thunder, shouting hallelujah. Wouldn't it be good if folks could drive down 14th Street and get to the corner of Avenue I, and all they heard were the saints hollering, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He says, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. David mentions the sun and the moon and the stars, and how can the sun and the moon and the stars praise God? David tells us in Psalms 19 that even though we know that these celestial bodies have no voice, yet they do have a voice when it comes to praising God. Because you know it's a funny thing about praise. I found out some things about praise that you ain't got to always open your mouth to praise God. I found this out, and now I know what my mama said. My mama said, there will come a day, baby, when you can't even open your mouth, when you don't know what to say. But all somebody been with my mama. Somebody been taught by my mama that all you have to do is just do what? Let me see if you know. Just wave. Somebody ought to just wave your hand. Let me see if we can do this. Says there will come a day when you won't know what to do, and the only thing you need to do is just wave your hand. Well, I'm just talking to these folks over here. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. I'm just talking to these folks. Now, way back in the day, because I'm getting old, back in the day, we would go to the football game. And when we would go to the football game, we would do a thing called the wave. This section would wave, then this section would wave, then that section would wave, that section would wave, this section would wave, and that section would wave. And everybody felt the same thing coming up over them. Sometimes you ain't got to open your mouth. I just want you to start giving God a wave praise. How about this section? Now put your hands down. Let's go. Let's go. Give God a praise. I know it's hard to do it without any words. Do it when you open your mouth and give God a praise. Don't be ashamed to give God a praise. Sometimes you just got to throw up both hands. Listen, they may not have a voice, but they sure do know how to praise the Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Wherever you go in this world, you can glance up at the sky, and when you look up at the sky, you can see the beauty of God's creation. Day or night, as you look into the sky, you can almost imagine them giving God glory. Listen, somebody, in fact, in Romans 1 and 20, God will actually speak to people who have no knowledge about God whatsoever, simply by looking up into the night sky, seeing the expanse of the stars, feeling the overwhelming sense of our own significance, feeling with certainty that there's a creator that's much more powerful than we are. Well, when you just start thinking about God and how awesome he is, and you start thinking about creation, you may not know God, but something's going to tell you there's got to be somebody greater than I am. I don't regulate the sun nor the moon, but they always show up right on time. Is there anybody feeling me in the house today? And we most certainly should bow down and worship him this morning. Let me say this to you and see if you can get this. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that man are without excuse. We have no excuse for not praising God. We have no excuse for not praising God. Let me say that again. We have no excuse for not praising God. Man can look up into the sky and God will speak to his soul. Listen to me. I went yesterday over to a store, and when I went to the store, there was a lady and her son out, and they were standing in the parking lot. And I thought to myself, what are they doing? They had their cameras out, Tammy, and they were taking pictures. And I thought, what are they taking pictures of? And I looked and saw the most beautiful sunset that anybody could ever imagine. God was speaking to them, and she was telling her son something, and I know it had to be about the sunset that God had placed there. David tells us that the highest heaven and the rain in the sky, all of them should praise the Lord. Listen to me. The very next time you see a raindrop, it ought to remind you that the raindrop is just lifting its voice in praise to the Creator. In verses 5 and 6, David gives the reason why they ought to praise God. Even though they certainly don't need a reason to praise God, they should praise the Lord anyway. Listen to this. David says, simply because God spoke the word and they were created is reason enough for them to praise the Lord. Wow, somebody missed your chance to shout. Just because you were created, that's reason enough for you to shout. God created you. God created all the heavenly things, and that's reason enough for them to shout. Here's my second thing. First thing is heavenly things ought to praise him. Now I'm getting down to us. Earthly things ought to praise the Lord. Not only are things heavenly things praising God, but next David turns his attention to earthly things. Look at this second stanza. We are earthly for the moment, amen? But we didn't come here to stay. Somebody talk back with me. We're earthly for the moment, but we didn't come here to stay. We're not going to stay earthly. I don't know about you, but I'm going up yonder. I'm going to see the King. This is just a rehearsal down here. I'm getting ready to go. I'm packed. My bags are packed, and I'm ready to go. And he says, down here, we should praise the Lord. David gets even more specific. He talks about the great seas and the sea creatures. And he said the creatures of the sea ought to praise the Lord. And everything from the depths that we have ought to just praise the Lord. We've heard a bird singing. But let me tell you, when you go home, I want you to do me a favor. And I want you to Google, humpback whale singing. And when you Google humpback whale singing, you would be amazed at the choruses that the humpback whale can sing. He can sing solo, can sing duet, they can sing trio, they can sing in choruses, they can sing dozens of interweaving voices, less than sometimes from 6 minutes to 30 minutes, because God has put something in the mouth of a humpback whale. And if God has put something in the mouth of a humpback whale, you can't tell me that you can't at least give God one shout out on this Sunday morning. You can't tell me that you can't give God at least one praise on this Sunday morning. And let me tell you this. I need for you to quit being shy about praising the Lord. Quit being shy about praising the Lord. I know you sitting by somebody and they want to say to you, girl, it don't take all of that for you to worship the Lord. You just turn and tell them it may not take all of that for you to worship the Lord, but it takes all of this for me to worship the Lord. Matter of fact, the next person that tell you that it doesn't take all of that for you to worship the Lord, there's a quarter. Come get that quarter and tell them to buy themselves some business, because when it comes to praising the Lord, somebody talk back with me, because when it comes to praising the Lord, Mansell, give me my quarter before Holloway gets it, please. But But when it comes to praise, when it comes to praising the Lord, when it comes to really praising the Lord, listen, baby, when it comes to praising the Lord, it doesn't matter whether you're bothered by it or not, because everything ought to praise the Lord. So David says that, listen, all people ought to praise the Lord. Great people ought to praise the Lord. Small people ought to praise the Lord. Young people ought to praise the Lord. Didn't you hear our children praising the Lord today? And if our children can get up here and talk about this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't you think you ought to be able to open your mouth and give God some praise? Old people ought to praise the Lord. The psalmist says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Men and women ought to praise him. Rich and poor ought to praise him. The powerful as well as the weak ought to give God praise. Everybody and everything ought to praise God. Has he left anybody out? David concludes this stanza like he did the first one, giving us a reason to praise God. Not that we need a reason, but we should praise God anyhow. David tells us that he has raised up for us, he's raised up for his people a horn of salvation. Now, listen to this, a horn of salvation. Over in Luke, if you read over in Luke, it makes it a little bit clearer, because for Luke it says, in Luke 1 and 69, I believe, it says that he raised up a horn for salvation for us in the house of his servant David. So then David is telling us to praise the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings us salvation. We got a reason to praise God, because God has granted us the privilege of salvation. Is there anybody can say, I once was lost in sin? Somebody talk back with me today. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus, but Jesus, but Jesus. So let me start to wrap this down. So all of this brings me to one question. And the question is, how are we doing when it comes to praising the Lord? The angels, the sun, the moon, the stars, the humpback whale, they're all praising the Lord. The mountains, the wind, the rain, they're all giving praise and glory to God. But let's follow the example that we see in the heavens and the earth. Let's join the great chorus of all heavenly things and all earthly things and praise the Lord. Well, I hear you. I know you. I know people. I meet with people and talk to people all the time. And people always want to say what they don't believe because they don't have enough evidence to believe. Pastor, I would praise him, but I need a few more reasons to praise him. Well, I got to get out of here, but before I get out of here, can I just give you some reasons why you ought to praise the Lord? Can I close this thing out with some reasons that I ought to praise the Lord? And can you participate with me in this sermon? So if I do my closing and I give you some reasons why you ought to praise the Lord, then you can, if I'm talking and you hearing me, say, talk on, preacher. Let's practice that. Say, talk on, preacher. So let me give you some reasons why you ought to praise the Lord. You ought to praise him because he's Elohim. He's the God of all creation, complete in all of yourself. You ought to praise him because he's Jehovah Jireh. He's your great provider. You ought to praise him because he's Jehovah Rapha. He is your healer. He's your great physician. He's your doctor in a sick room. You ought to praise him because he's Jehovah Nissi. He's the Lord, my banner. You can give victory. He'll give you victory over the enemy. You ought to praise him because he's Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord of my peace. You ought to praise him because he's my rock, my firm place to stand. You ought to praise him because he's your strength, your shield, and your buckler. You ought to praise him because he's a light in the time of darkness. Somebody talk back with me. You ought to praise him because he is your daddy, and you ought to give your daddy some praise. You ought to praise him because he's a very present help in the time of need. You ought to praise him because he is your redeemer. I'm getting doped up, y'all. You ought to praise him because he is the potter and I am the clay. I'm getting high, y'all. You ought to give him praise because he is the Son of God. He is the great I Am. You ought to praise him, y'all, because he's worthy to be praised. I'm getting high, y'all. I'm getting lit right now. You ought to praise him. I'm getting crunk right now. You ought to praise him because he's good, he's faithful, and he's true. He's God all by himself. You ought to praise him because he's full of grace and full of mercy. You ought to praise him because he is Jehovah. You ought to praise him because he paid it all. Is there anybody know that Jesus paid it all? You ought to praise the Lord because he is the anointed one. And by his stripes, you are healed. He's the first, he's the last. He's Alpha, he's Omega. Folks start to act funny when they get doped up, but you ought to praise him. Let me talk over here, because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Let me go over here. He's the beginning and the end. Is there anybody that know you ought to praise him? You ought to praise him. You just ought to praise him. You ought to praise him. King of kings, Lord of lords, you ought to praise him. Holy One, Son of God, he's a supporter, preserver of all things. Somebody ought to praise him. He's a branch of Jesse, the root of David. He is a prophet. He's an advocate to your father when you can't get through. He'll stand up to the Father on your behalf. He is the way. He's the truth. He is the light. He is the Messiah. He's the chief cornerstone. You ought to praise him. He's the light of the world. He's the horn of salvation. He's a life changer. He will overcome the world. You ought to praise him. He defeated the enemy. He gave you victory. You ought to praise him because he's unchanging truth. You ought to praise him. You ought to worship him. You ought to enter the throne room with some praise on your lips. You ought to praise your Father for sending us the Holy Spirit to help and to comfort us. You are the Spirit of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and I praise you. You have put breath in my lungs. You allowed blood to flow through my veins, and I give you praise. You gave me joy, unspeakable joy, and I praise you. I'm messed up right now, y'all. Thank you, Lord, for making a new man. Old man is gone. New man is come. Jesus, I praise you. I'm getting higher, y'all, for equipping us with armor and with weapons. Praise ye the Lord. You gave me a heart transplant. Took out my old dirty heart. Put in a new heart. Put my feet on solid ground. Gave me a brand new start. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving me reconciliation. Thank you for you being so much. So great and so kind. But most importantly, somebody call 911, because I'm getting ready to get messed up in here. Most importantly, I thank him because he gave his only begotten son. His son went upon the cross. His son was pierced. His son bled. His son died. But all of a sudden, they put him down in a grave, in a borrowed tomb that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea, because he knew that he wouldn't need it for 3 days, because on Sunday morning, he was already destined to get up. I'm getting messed up, because on Sunday morning, he got up. He got up. Is there anybody can say he got up? He got up. He got up, he got up, he got up, he got up. With not some power, but all power in his hand, in his hand. One thing, you can say what you will of me. You can say what you will of me. But the one thing about drunks, winos and dope addicts, it's especially winos. They get what you call jicky. I don't know if you know what a jicky is. They ain't totally drunk, but they almost there. When they get theirs, they got their bottle in a brown paper bag. And what they do is pass it off to somebody else. Folks that smoke marijuana. But they ain't selfish. Pass you. And you take a hit off of it. But don't take it all, just take a hit. And once you get your hit, we feeling good together now. Pass it on to Jordan and give him a hit. Oh, Jordan, you know, get your hit. Then turn around and give Turner a hit. Just a little hit. And then when you get a hit from everybody, then everybody wants you to get a hit. Go to acting crazy in the house to other folks that don't know Jesus. And that's when they start coming to their feet saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. Do I have any high folks in the house? Do I have any doped up folks in the house? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, of all the things we come in here for, of all we come in here for, one of the most important things to me is that new souls are brought to Christ. I got a report on how many people have come in 5 weeks in 2020. We've so far had 23 people, I believe, come. And we've had, 43 people come. And we've had a total of 20 baptisms in this 5 week period. Because I'm praying to the Lord that people will walk the aisles and people will reconnect with God and people will connect with God. And this morning, as we open the doors of the church, I know there's somebody here that have been putting off and putting off. And Pastor wants to say to you, don't wait too late. Come now. While the blood is yet running warm in your veins. If you want to come, I'm going to invite you to come. If you're a little shaky about walking the aisle, all you got to do is ask your neighbor if they'll come with you. And I'm just going to ask you to get up and come. Don't put off. Young or old, don't put off. Don't put off. If you know you need to come, just get up and come. Young, old, just get up and come. Maybe you're looking for a church home. Now's the time for you to come. The question is, will you come? Nothing better than knowing Jesus. I beg you, will you come? You may be in the balcony. Will you get up and will you come? We'll certainly wait for you. We'll wait for you. Will you come? Question is, will you come? Come.